That's what you get the money for it, but you get to keep it. That's how a lot of the kids make their money.
And then I'll come pick it up and get the meat for it.
I like pets. So these are like
pets. Do these lambs have names?
Yeah.
Oh, that's first mistake. Give it in a name.
I didn't name them. Natalie.
Toby and Peanut were very good.
Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
That's interesting. How about you never agree or disagree? All right, 2 seconds. Hey, Scott Spears, back with you from a picnic table at the 160th in Marion County Fair. We got on the air this morning, so everybody's enjoying the broadcast this morning. I hear that it is sounding great, and that is all you can ask for when you're doing an episode like this. Joined this morning from one of the big stars, one of the most highly rated episodes of My 600-Pound Life on TLC last year, Mike McGinnis, Pastor Craig from the Live at 5 show, and Sunday morning's Study Word at 9:15 p.m. Angie Evers, who joins me on Friday night from 8 to 10. We're all here at the between the exhibition hall and the Arts and Crafts building. Now, the Arts and Crafts building is open, but we are not. The exhibition is still closed, and Pastor Craig even went over and shook the doors during the break to see if it was a possibility of getting in there.
And answer is no.
Possibility is no. Now, we also had a gentleman come by and say they're late on the first day. So, I don't know. Maybe.
There's hope for tomorrow.
There's hope. I do need to thank people at T-Mobile. They're the supporter of here, T-Mobile, out on Marion, in the, it's called Mallard Landing.
Mallard Landing.
They're out at Mallard Landing. Actually, a great guy. So, hey, we thank them for their support of this broadcast at the Marion County. Thank the people at T-Mobile and out at up there in Mallard. I didn't even know that was there until Saturday. It's a nice building. It's nice set they have up there in Mountain Square.
And it's kind of sandwiched in between all the other things that are going there on Marion, out Vernon Road, and it's very easy to miss.
It really is. Well, Mallard Landing is so far off road that unless you know where you're going, it's hard to see it.
By the way, I have to ask, speaking of far off the road, did you notice yesterday, because I noticed, that at the future Taco place.
Oh.
They've actually moved the porta potty, and it's definitely on the mausoleum property now. It might have been questionable before. It's on the mausoleum.
Now, does anybody else have a problem with this? I mean, I've complained about this to the point where people are here tired of hearing me complain about it, but isn't that odd?
It is.
You would put, of all things, porta potty on the property of a mausoleum, a place where people come to pay their, they go to their reward. Why would you want to put a porta potty on the lawn?
I don't know, but it's definitely on there.
Now you are in this business.
I am.
And I mean, if you saw it, what do you think of it?
Well, to be honest with you, if it was one of mine, I'd move it. I mean, because even I like, yeah, come on, it doesn't look right there. I would find another spot.
Now, Mike, if you
5 foot from the road, though, I'd be afraid to go in it.
Well, the door was hanging open there when pointed toward the road. Scared a lot of people. You just drive down 95, hanging wide open there. I mean, I don't know what's going on. I don't even know what's going on with that whole Del Taco operation. They've ran into some problem.
They've ran into a big problem that's really stopped what they were doing. And it looked like for a long time they had issues with sewer because they had, you know, some big pipe out there and junction boxes and everything. So I think they probably had some sewer problems that really wasn't problem to fix.
Well, there's a piece of plywood or particle board right in front of the is covering something in the room. So there's got to be some kind of an issue there.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, though. Mike, now, would you put a porta potty on the lawn of Marion's only mausoleum?
Why not?
Well, because if your family members are in there, You don't want somebody going to the bathroom out on the lawn.
Well, they're not going in the lawn, they're going in the porta pot.
Well, I understand that. It's like a toilet. You don't put a toilet in your front yard.
Yeah, but now people have a place to go to the bathroom when they go visit people.
They've went on to their reward. I think that's fun.
Well, actually, Angie, you make a good point because we've got three cemeteries that have porta potties in them.
Right.
Now, granted, they're at the back, so they're not right out in front. You know, people sometimes when they're visiting their loved ones, they have to go.
Well, I understand that.
You would be dope.
Yeah, but I wouldn't go out on the lawn. I would have to go next door. I'd have to drive somewhere else. Yeah.
You'd go ahead and drive to Wendy's and use the one at Wendy's.
Oh, by the way, the other day I had to pull Little Caesars, and I don't go there very often. But just pulling out of there is a catastrophe. Let alone what it's going to be like at Del Taco when they. That's going to be dangerous.
I don't think good planning was done well. I mean, it's not a good look. I mean, you've got all those things bunched together, you know, the Perkins and all that stuff bunched together and the busy road.
You know, Pastor, you weren't here when we talked. You know, this is the birthday of our country, and we'll celebrate with fireworks and all this sort of jazz that'll go on today. Do you think people really get the huge significance of this day, not even 250 years ago?
I think we were getting to the point where the significance was getting lost. I don't care how you feel about him, love him or hate him, but I think one of the side effects of Donald Trump has been that it renewed some patriotism in a certain segment of the population. And I think that this 4th of July, there are probably more people that are actually recognizing the fact of our country's birthday, celebrating it. Not that this is definitely related to it, but in my industry, this is the busiest week of the year. You know, there are parties on Memorial Day, but 4th of July is always the biggest week. But this year, it has been incredible. I mean, we were turning people down 3 weeks ago for portable toilets because we were all sold out. There seems to be a renewed interest.
Now, do you think people, though, understand Revolutionary War, the British, and the colony? I mean, it's one thing where, clothing, you'll see a lot of that today, patriotic clothing, red, white, and blue. See a lot of hats, things of that nature. But do you think people really get behind? Do you think who Ben Franklin is, George Washington, could they really explain who these people were?
No. But I don't think they could. I don't think they could really explain who they were, what they did, their contributions, you know, to our country. They have a surface knowledge. You know, they've heard of Ben Franklin. Yeah, we studied him in school, and they could probably one or two things that Ben Franklin did. No, I don't think that they're. I don't really think they're, you know, real knowledge about history.
You know, on this day, I just feel compelled because it'll be pretty much on the air. Bring up Ben Franklin's name as I can, because he does get left out because he was not a president. And I think people see him more of an inventor, how he taught in school. But he was very significant. He was just older at the time of the signing of the Declaration. He was very significant in the setup of this country and very significant in gaining representation in Europe for this country.
Yeah, I mean, he was really one of the major players, and I don't think most people realize all the truth.
And Angie and I, we were in Philadelphia and visited Ben Franklin's grave.
Yep.
And there was not a porta potty.
No, they didn't put a porta potty on his. The whole town of Philadelphia, now they've got people who would get that out of here.
Does he have a separate grave, or is he in part of a cemetery?
It's an old cemetery.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting. Because you can clearly tell the evolution of Philadelphia. Because the cemetery is in the middle of all these big rises. And it's in this section. It's right downtown Philadelphia. So it's just, you walk down, and on the corner, here's the cemetery. If it can't serve, probably because Ben.
You know, if you stop and think about it, had he not been who he was, and he had been buried in that cemetery with just whoever those other people were, that cemetery have survived.
No. know, I think there are so many cemeteries that have been paved over. I don't think people realize that. Like, we have a cemetery out in Kirkpatrick. Now, it's not paved over, but I have not seen anybody decorate anything there for years. Most of the tombstones are tipped over. It just didn't. Mike, have you seen some abandoned cemeteries around?
Well, there's a bunch of when you drive down the country road, like the corner. There's just two cemeteries right in the corner, like old family plots or something. There's actually one in Delaware at the corner of 37 Health Road across the river. Mm. I noticed the other day, it's just like 15 tombstones in the corner. And then there's business all around it. So it's old tombstones.
And you'll see that on some of these old cemeteries that small pieces of land that over time as the development encroached on them, but they have done that, just kind of gathered up the tombstones and set them in a corner. It's really kind of a shame from the standpoint that the records are probably lost, buried there and where they
are. Has just opened 24 minutes past the hour here. Well, we're not going to move now because that would cut the big break here in the broadcast. The doors have opened, so it looks at 9:24 that the doors will open. So if you want to come visit the booth, nobody's sitting there right now, but you can. It's in the youth exhibit area.
They can come by, sit at the table, pretend that they're one of us.
Pretend that they're one of us, and pop out at the picnic table and really pretend that they're one of us, because that's what we're doing. But, you know, the fair's a great thing. I think Hickory County has a fair. It's very tied to the agricultural community. How long do you think that will continue? I don't know.
I think it will for a long time. You had asked me that 10 years ago. I'd have said, you know, those county fairs tied to the agriculture, they're going to die out. That was my background, being a Columbus. But now that I've lived in, you know, Marl County for 10 years, the kids, as far as the kids being in 4-H and things like that, it's as strong as it ever was. And at the county fairs, that agricultural bent of the fair, I think it's going to be around for a long time.
What do you think, Angie? You've been around these two.
Oh, well, I mean, as far as I can tell, it'll keep on going.
Well, because people, I mean, it's not people's farms anymore. It's kids who are getting involved to participate in the livestock.
I personally know people that live in the city that are showing animals this weekend. So
they still have an interest.
They still have an interest, and they're city people. They don't farm. They have to travel, take care of their animals.
Yeah, we've had to travel every day. I mean, to my mom's, but
still, she has the area to be able to do it.
Yeah, every morning we have to get up and feed these lambs, and I mean it's. We've been doing this for like 4 months, so.
Well, speak to the, it's a big project. If somebody's going to get involved,
huge.
It's not small.
I mean, and there's a lot of money involved, and I mean, you have to buy the lambs, you have to buy the feed, you have to, and we were starting from scratch, so we had nothing. Luckily, I found a wheelbarrow alongside the road. I was able to pick that up. Somebody was getting rid of their wheelbarrow, so I snatched that up, but basically everything else I had to buy brand new. I mean, you know, we had the barn, which Natalie worked hard to clean the barn out where she had a pen. So, I mean, she's done a lot.
So now you've got that barn cleaned out, so now you got to do every year.
Yeah, I don't know. She wants to take digs too, and I'm like, no. I'm like, this is enough. But, I mean, we had to buy clippers, we had to buy, I don't know, just work, everything, things to keep the food in, you know, we had to go buy hay, feed.
And this process starts in March.
Yeah, I think we got the lambs, the weekend in March. So, I mean, it's a lot of time and
commitment.
Yeah, it really is.
And it's every day.
Every day.
They gotta eat every day.
Miss a day.
It's like having more kids that don't live with you.
That's right. That's right. It's a big project.
Yeah.
So did you know anybody who took animals to the fair?
I know a couple that this year had plants. A growing brother's friend had cows and pigs. It was a Mike Wagner. Did it, and I had a bunch of battling people that did it.
It's a fun thing that I recently learned, I think just in the last year, that FFA no longer stands for Future Farm Makers of America.
Future Farmers of America.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
But what is it
well,
now?
Well, I don't know.
Or is it 4-H has changed its
name? No, FFA.
FFA, yeah, they don't call it that anymore.
I think that's all they do is call it FFA.
Yeah.
There's no name to it.
Yeah. It doesn't specifically mean Future Farmers of America. It can mean different things, I guess.
That's,
I don't know.
It's kind of like the YMCA. You know, it started out as the Young Men's Christian Association, but now, I mean, anywhere you go, it's just YMCA.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder why the Y does not take... It used to be a place where you could go stay if you didn't have a place to go, but I don't think anyone offers that anymore.
I think there's one downtown Columbus off Broad Street. It's the YMCA. It still does that.
That's nice.
I mean, if you think about the Y and Marion, like, where would somebody go to stay? I mean, there is no place to stay.
Well, I think the old one, they used to have rooms up on the top floor. When they built the new one, I don't think long discontinued that service. End of that.
Yep.
I don't know. Do we take care of people? I don't know if we do or not.
Not like we used to.
Whole different society.
Yeah. And
I think everybody's looking for a handout. A lot of people are. And a lot of people cheat the system. I know some... I've personally seen people go on the road to make money on the side of the road. But I know some people need it. But I know some people turn into their full-time job because they make more money doing that than they do working a full-time job. But I just think we just need to just help. If you have a chance to help somebody, just help them. Just, that's what I believe.
I think part of the problem is the church, and we've abandoned our responsibility. If you look 100 or 150 years ago in America, it was the church that built the orphanages, had the places for unwed mothers. They basically took care of the poor people, care of the widows in society. And gradually, as government took on more and more of that, taking on that responsibility, the church has, I felt, abandoned a lot of that and let the government take it over.
Well, I don't know what, it's hard to keep up, when churches have dinners, when they have food pantries, they have to know when they happen, because people are in need of this, seriously. They are connected to the internet. They don't have smartphones. They aren't in the newspaper. How are they supposed to know?
Yeah, we don't do a good job of advertising it for my church. Shining Light Baptist Church, we're in downtown Marion. We have meetings every Friday night, and most of the people that come to the community dinner are right down Marion there. So, we're feeding the needy in that area, but we're only getting 15 or 20 people. And I know there's a lot more need than that. And how do you get the word out?
Very difficult. 32 past the hour. So, Mike, what's coming up with my 600-pound life?
Oh, man. I talked to Dr. Nell a couple weeks ago, and he said if I lose 100 more pounds, then I'll most likely be getting the skin removal surgery. So I'm pretty sure that's going to be the next episode of me getting that done, which will not be a fun surgery.
So are they having you come back as kind of like a follow-up, or they're following to continue?
It's called the My 600-Pound Life, Where Are They Now? It's basically the second. They take a couple people and do a second episode with them. And at least that's what I'm in contract for.
Okay.
That's all I know.
So you can do a new episode with. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what do you attribute the popularity of your episode?
I've heard many people say it was just a genuine episode. I didn't have anything to lose, so I just basically told them how it was, and I just think just being truthful and being real to people, they liked it.
Now, we did learn that reality television is sometimes not exactly reality television.
It's real, just made up sometimes.
Well, I mean, one of the big things from your episode was the order to Bob Evans, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was me. It was actually Denny. That was when I filmed it. Food was already at the house. It just because when you film, you can't really say, okay, you're gonna film you doing it. Okay, we didn't like how you talked to him on the phone, so we're gonna redo it. Can't call back and say, hey, I'm gonna reorder something. So you gotta be able to adjust and do different things to make sure you do it right. And you take stuff 2, 3, 4 times.
They wanted you to have more food.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, they kept saying, well, we need to add more than that. That's not
so. Which is interesting for a show that, is it a weight loss show?
I don't think it's considered a weight loss show. I think it's more of a... Oh, man. Because, yes, the end goal is to get the surgery. But I think it's more of the lines of just following along in the life of somebody that's struggling with weight.
So your personal journey.
It's more like a personal journey. Because it's called My 600-Pound Life. Not... I'm losing weight. So it's taking you in the life of someone that's 600 pounds.
But now, do people fail?
There's been a lot of people that have failed that have been on the show. I know people that have gotten the surgery outside of the show that have failed and gained their weight back. And I have to continue to watch what I do because I can stretch my stomach back out if I don't follow along with the strict diet.
Oh, that's what I'm gonna tell people the surgery you have. Because a lot of people are interested in this.
I did have the gastric sleeve. Basically, they cut out 85% of my stomach from about a watermelon size down to a about 3 to 4 ounces, which not a lot. And I was told within about a year my stomach will be the normal size of a human stomach, so I can eat a normal meal. So I'm getting up on the year. I'm at 9 months right now. So my stomach's been handling more food, but I'm still keeping to the right amount.
Now, how does it get? Is it just eating, breathing, gets it stretched out?
Overeating, stretched out. Yeah.
Now, what is the normal size of a human stomach?
Good question. Very good question.
Your fist? More of a fist. They say that, but everybody's got a different.
I got a big fist.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't. You know, Pastor Greg?
No, I have no idea.
I think it might be your fist size for your body.
So they cut yours from a watermelon down to
3 to 4 ounces.
Wow. Which causes a lot of problems.
Yeah.
But you talked about at one point, I think, on the air that you can't... How much food could you eat?
Well, this morning I had a hash brown and 3 bites of a McDonald's burrito.
That's it.
Now, when you at your maximum weight before you got involved in the show, how much could you eat?
Well, I'll give my typical Taco Bell order. 2 5-layer burritos, 2 cheesy bean and rice burritos, a Crunchwrap Supreme, and a small thing of nachos with a large Baja Blast.
Basically, the family meal.
Yeah.
Well, and now when you're going through that, do you realize there's a problem?
No.
You don't even think about it?
You don't even think about it. And then afterwards, you're like, oh, man, I'm stuffed. And then I shouldn't have eaten that much. But then, well, it's over now.
Now, they found you through a TikTok video, is that right?
Yeah, they found me through TikTok.
Yeah.
So you didn't pursue them?
No, they contacted me.
Oh, okay.
Now, when did the weight issues start in your life?
I was always big. I played football. I was a big guy. Started back in 2001. I lost my football scholarship. And I was eating 15, 20,000 calories a day to keep up with working out. Well, then once football stopped, I stopped working out.
But still eating.
But I had an all-you-can-eat cafeteria, so I gained 100 pounds the rest of the year because I wasn't working out anymore. And then I came back home, and depression set in, and took off.
Now, metabolism, we always talk about metabolism.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Is it the real thing?
Honestly, I don't know, because I've seen skinny people eat me and stay skinny, and I've seen bigger people eat less than me and still gain weight. So I just think it's what your body can handle.
It's an interesting story.
Yeah.
Yeah. But did you ever feel, when you watched the, what did you as you watch? Because they cut it up and put in what they want to put in?
They cut out a lot of stuff that I wish they would have put in. One of my favorite scenes that I filmed was going to Harding Football Stadium and walking the track and then walking to the 50-yard line and doing a quick interview there. And I thought that would have been a perfect ending to the show, coming full circle from not being able to play football, not being able to move around, to now I'm walking on the football field at the end of the episode, being able to move around, and after the show, but they didn't put it in the show, and I don't know why.
How did they end the show?
They ended the show with me sitting at my desk, working.
Again.
Yeah, I think the football field would have been so much better.
But they never like consulted you on what they were going to show or how they would end it or anything.
Told me what to film. They told me what to say. I argued with them a lot. The voiceover, there's a lot of stuff I refused to say because it just did not. It was not.
Now, when they tell you what to say, what do you mean by that? Like, what is something they told you to say?
Basically, there were 15 different acts to the show, and each act had about 1 to 5 pages of voiceover that I could read. And basically, I sat in a hotel room, and they would say a line, and I had to repeat it 3 different ways. And I can't remember some of the lines I said, but a lot of it was like, that's not my age, or that wasn't my age, that's not the happened, that's not what I weighed, that's not what I ate, I didn't do that. And like, well, it's just for entertainment purposes.
It's a play.
Yeah. And then I said, well, I don't want to say that. And they're like, okay, hold on a second. They text the writers would redo it, and then send the new script back, and then I'd read that.
Now, when you hear this, what do you think? Reality television.
It's not always reality.
Now, apparently, I'm close.
No.
Which I wonder why. Is it to make something they think will sell better?
I think so. I mean, I would buy. They go through that process, and ultimately, they want to be a top-rated show. They want people to tune in every whatever. And, you know, they're the experts, and so, you know, they know if he says this, that'll be good.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, they're concerned about making a popular show.
They got to make money.
You know, I was just thinking, when I was here, I've never been to the State Street entrance now. Well, I've been to it. Closed, though. So if I leave here, what is the closest place you can get one of these jugs for your lemonade?
Dollar General.
Dollar General.
It's right up the road. Yeah. I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down and get a jug and go fill it, and I'll be back.
Or you can go home empty out a milk jug.
I don't drink milk.
That's just too bad.
I know.
Or you can go to Dollar General and get a gallon of Milo's sweet tea.
See, I'm not into the tea.
You got to get into it.
No, I'm not into the tea. I'm trying to think. I like lemonade.
I'd rather have tea than pop.
Oh, I'd rather have lemonade than pop. But McDonald's doesn't really have that option. When you're down there.
But they do have the option for sweet tea.
Yeah, but I think that's dangerous. I think that's hazardous to your health.
I see you had your Diet Coke this morning.
I was worried because, you know, I was in a panic this morning because I didn't know where we were going to broadcast. I have a lot of the panic because I do know we'll be able to get off the air regardless of if this building is open or not. But when I left here last night, there was a lot of doubt in the air of whether we were going to be on this morning. So, you know, I think I've talked about this with people. When I started in radio, which is not many years ago, but it used to be you got on. You know, your only excuse for not being on was being dead. You even went in sick if nobody else was there. Now, that changed a lot. We have early peak plays, whatever. Let it go.
No, but here you are at a table in the sun.
Most people would have just stayed home and took the day off, and I could still be laying in bed watching Good Morning America or something.
Glenn would have given you a call and said, this isn't going to work, Scott.
Glenn would say, I can't come in today. Like, Linda won't be on today, take an independent day off.
Now, is she going to broadcast tomorrow from the studio?
As far as I know, but that might change. Because since we've got the 4 o'clock shows now here at the fair, starting on Wednesday. Now, what are you and Nate going to do 2 hours with no phones?
We are going to talk to every person that walks by us.
Now, after that 10-minute period is over with, what are you going to do for the rest of the 2 hours?
Talk about food, I'm sure. I am going to go around and, before the show, buy several items of food so that we can...
taste off.
Yeah, we can test it there on the...
Oh, well, that'll be good.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
Why aren't we doing that here now?
Well, nothing's open.
You should have had that pre-planned.
Black really can't move the time of the show to accommodate the
vendors. We couldn't even get a building unlocked.
Yeah,
how's he
going
to get the vendors to set up early?
But I do want people. I was here at 7:30 this morning. I was here 45 minutes before the show started, so I could have done something if anything had been available. The building was locked. The State Street entrance was locked. It was rough this morning.
But you made it.
But I made it, and we're broadcasting from a picnic table, and we've got 15 minutes left on this 4th of July broadcast. Pastor Craig, Mike McGinnis here, Angie Everett. Angie went over and is now in the 4-H building, which is where we
should
have our booth. Yeah, that's where we'll be Wednesday night. Now, the rest of the morning, that's debatable at this particular point.
I guess if worse comes to worse, you can always sit under the picnic table when it's raining.
I guess that's what it'll eventually...
or use an umbrella.
Use an umbrella, something. You know, it's great, though, that this time of the day, the one plus is, it's not scorching hot.
Yeah. It's getting there.
I would not want to be out here at 4 o'clock.
It's supposed to be 91 today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I am not going to be sitting out here at 4 o'clock today. But in the building, it's not bad because nothing beats down on you. So that's the plus.
And that building is air-conditioned.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of air-conditioning going on in there. Bring a fan.
Like I said earlier, it's conditioned air that goes through the door.
There you go.
Now, the fireworks show here at the fair have been quite good the last few years. I've seen it, like, driving by, but they're putting a lot of effort into this.
And they're doing that tonight.
That'll
right?
be tonight, 10 o'clock. Now, it's also interesting because this is the first year that people are able to fire off fireworks tonight just willy-nilly. No restrictions.
So did you see a lot of fireworks being set off in your neighborhood? And
I heard them. I didn't see them, which to me is a bad sign. Because they're pyrotechnicians. There actually are people who professionally light these things off. And I would think I would have no idea how to light them off, because you do have to put them in a certain way, let them off a certain way, and also be away from them to have everything go correctly.
But it's gotten real fancy. I mean, you buy a computer software program, and you can do it electronically. I was down at my son's house yesterday, and he set off some fireworks last night. Did a marvelous job. They were beautiful. He was telling me about all that, how you do this, do that, and I'm going, well, I'm kind of glad that it's not like the old days where you got to sit there and light a fuse.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the whole thing has changed, but it is interesting that this has come up to me. That, of all the laws, the state of Ohio would be the law that needs.
I think that 2 years, 3 years down the line, they're going to regret it. But we'll wait and see.
I'm just curious to see. I mean, and I hope I'm wrong, but the emergency room is typically busy on the 4th of July. And I do believe there were always people who were going to light them off.
Anyway.
Yeah, but I think there are people now who did restrain themselves who are going to try it now because there is no law.
Now that it's legal, there's a lot of people that will do it just because it's legal. They may not know any more about how to do it than they, but... they're going to do it because it's legal.
I wonder if that'll impact the people who show up here for the fireworks.
I don't know.
What do you think? You think it's going to impact the fact that people can cut off their own now?
Not at all. Because people are going to go home in June afterwards anyway.
Well, I don't know. It's an interesting thing. because I think, by and large, most of the public does follow the laws. So I think there are going to be a lot of fireworks going off tonight that heretofore had not.
I also got to think, too, some of the fireworks in the past years used to be buy one, get two free. It wasn't like that this year. It was buy one, get one at like $5. So a lot of people didn't spend the amount of money they used to.
Yeah, but has any of this changed? I mean, gas is $5. People are still driving. You know, the roads are still packed. They were saying this was going to be one of the busiest travel weeks of the year. Last weekend was supposed to be a busy travel weekend. Well, you know, if people keep paying it, it's going to save it.
That's just $4.51 down there.
But, well, you know, here at these dudes, just up the road, it was like $4.89. It was a lot cheaper than it was.
Pilot on 71 at the State Route 61 exit for Mount Gilead, I bought at Pilot this morning for $4.49.
Isn't that, why? I mean, is it all about income in the areas? What they can charge, they will?
It's the travel area. More popular areas, they'll sell more gas.
Downtown Mount Gilead, it's still $4.85.
49 minutes past the hour. I do again want to thank the people at T-Mobile on Marion Mount Gilead Road for supporting the broadcast. We'll be out here every morning this week until 10 in the morning. Wednesday afternoon, Pastor Craig and Nate, I guess, will be out here from 4 until 6. Glenn Coble possibly on Wednesday and Thursday, and Linda Simmons maybe tomorrow. Hard to tell. I guess we'll find out as things trickle down, but it's a fun week. Now, on the 4th of July, what's your message here, Angie, for the 4th of July? What do you hope people are able to do? And
my message is 6 o'clock. There's a hot dog eating contest.
Oh, really?
Today.
What is the itinerary?
Dang it.
So, today, the harness racing starts at 11.
Not too long from now.
We'll have to warm up.
Yeah. Opening ceremonies are at noon. Rides open at noon. I have no idea what this is, Mr. Pickles, but Mr. Pickles is going on all week.
Sarah would know.
Five.
It must be some type of entertainment.
I think Mr. Pickles is the clown.
Oh, boy.
The hot dog eating contest is at 6, and then I don't know what a mega kick is. Oh, it's at the grandstand. It must be music. And then 8 o'clock, what if wrestling meet and greet? That's at the midway stage, and then 10 o'clock is fireworks night.
So the hot dog eating contest, they have pre-registered.
You know, I don't know, but like tomorrow there's a watermelon eating contest.
Apparently Mr. Pickles is here every day.
Yeah.
I see a lot of Mr. Pickles.
There's a hypnotist, too, that's coming. Those are fun to watch.
Oh, my. Who's going to be here Wednesday between 4 and 6?
Wednesday?
Mr. Pickles. You're going to have him on.
We will definitely have him on the show.
He's a regular around here.
Oh, I don't know what a frozen t-shirt contest is.
Oh, see, I don't like the sound of that.
No, that doesn't sound good.
Frozen
that doesn't
t-shirt
sound good.
Contest.
No.
Do they jump in ice water? Or?
See?
Right.
Getting a little.
So the schedule on Wednesday, they do have us listed, right?
We're right in there.
It's
5 at 5, about 10 minutes after the tour. That's how we time it just right.
So the only thing basically going on Wednesday are pickles at the midway stage.
Yep, and then there's an ag credit customer appreciation.
Maybe you can get Mr. Pickles on the air.
Well, you know, he's got a show at 3, 5, and 7. So in between his 3 and 5 show at 4 o'clock here, we'll see if we can get Mr. Pickles on the show.
You know, he's working all week, though, because now Mr. Pickles is on today, right?
Yeah, Pickles is all week.
My goodness.
I wonder what he does.
Maybe get him on tomorrow morning.
Mike, you're going to book Mr. Pickles today?
I'll go look for him.
When's his performance?
Mr. Pickles?
3 o'clock.
Today? Yeah, where are we at? Mr. Pickles, 3.
3 o'clock.
I won't be here.
Call him up.
I'll call him.
He's on the midway stage over here.
I'm sure he's in the white pages.
And he's at 3, so he'll be here before 3.
He's got to get prepared.
Yeah, he's got show prep.
Now, does he have Facebook? Is he a big celebrity.
Mr. Pickles Facebook page. Yeah, follow me on Facebook.
Mr. Pickles Entertainment.
There we go. What's he look like?
Green and shrivelly.
Yeah, that's interesting. Oh, boy. Well, he's not a clown. Well, that's debatable.
I say, looking at that picture, that's debatable.
He doesn't wear makeup. Let's put it that way.
Good, Mr. Pickles, jar full of fun, brings his brand of music, magic, and laughter to kids of all ages.
Well, we got to get him on tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Can you send him a message?
He's on Facebook.
Let him know.
Actually, he has a phone number.
Okay. He's published.
There you go. You got to have him on the show.
Yeah. Make sure we get Mr. Pickles tomorrow morning. He'll be our July 5th entertainment. And we might need backup over here on Wednesday and Thursday.
I think we need to talk to the hypnotist, too.
If I knew who it was,
His name is Mike Bishop.
Mike Bishop. Look up that, too, Mike. Mike's become the booker over here.
Well, we don't have Sean or Terry around, so it falls on Mike.
It does fall on Mike, yeah. Terry's a good booker. He always gets it done. If anybody can get it done, it's Terry. This has been a good 4th of July. We've still got 5 minutes left in the program here. Starting to get a little warm. But it's going to be pretty soon when we evacuate this particular location. But we've had a lot of fun here on the 4th of July. 54 minutes of the hour. Remember, Adam, mid-morning coffee break with Adam coming up at 10:15 in the morning. No Voice of a People today, I believe. I believe it'll be a repeat at 4:10 because Linda's going to have a outing with her family, I think, celebrating the 4th of July, which is nice. And that's what I'm going to do today, celebrate the 4th of July.
So how are you going to celebrate the 4th of
well,
July?
Well, I've got a big, big plan.
You're going to read the Declaration of Independence?
I do that every 4th of July, sure.
Do you say that afterwards?
I started it a few years ago. It's in...
And then you're going to maybe a reading of the U.S. Constitution?
The U.S. Constitution, sure.
Bill of Rights,
all those sort of
things. Propose your amendments.
Right. Well, you know, I think there are a few we got to throw in there. Some people are conservationalists, but I believe that there are a few things we got to talk about. Well,
I think it should be in the Constitution that if you're set up to do a live broadcast from the fair, the building must be unlocked.
We're going to have to put that in law.
We have a response from Mr. Pickles.
There you
go. That sounds wonderful. I would love that.
Oh, he'll be on tomorrow with us. Mr. Pickles, oh, man. That's so good, I might not show up for tomorrow's show. I can handle this, couldn't you?
I don't know. I'm going to try to make it tomorrow. I got to find the boys.
You're going to sit here with Mr. Pickles?
Hey, I'm doing something.
What about the hypnotist, Mike Bishop?
I don't know yet.
Book him for Wednesday. We'll put them all down.
So you have Mr. Pickles tomorrow.
Yes.
If you can get the hypnotist on Thursday.
Yeah, I'll be covered.
Then you only have to worry about Thursday and Friday.
Thursday and Friday. I do believe there are. If you come, don't you have questions for Mr. Pickles?
Oh, I have many questions for Mr. Pickles.
There you go.
Because just going through his page real quick, it's fun for all ages. He does tons of different shows, educational learning. So you know it's going to be a good show.
And that'll make tomorrow's show in the morning, Mike. We'll probably achieve record-breaking ratings.
I don't know how I'll be able to deal with it.
Well, with you and he, I mean, the celebrity ratio is just too much.
Good thing I'm working.
Yeah, you missed that. You can listen to Mr. Pickles tomorrow morning on the TuneIn app. People can listen to the station app, download it anywhere, or on the website, www.1.com. And did you tell Mr. Pickles to find the picnic table?
I'll let him know where we are.
7 minutes past the hour. Let him know to be here by 8:15. Not because I don't want to have to make small talk with him before we go on.
He probably will do all the talking. You'll just have to
sit there. That's all I want from
him. He might even perform for the people.
What does he sing?
Let's find out.
Does Mike Bishop have his own Facebook page?
I looked him up yet.
We're still enamored with Mr. Pickles.
I wonder if he goes to the pickle run.
What if he goes?
Is he local?
It's a 614 number, so it's probably from Columbus.
Man, is he driving every day?
He's probably got a camper. There's like 500 people out here camping.
He's a certified vendor for educational theater in the Columbus City Schools.
Where do you get that certification at?
He has over 10 years experience visiting libraries throughout Ohio every summer. I came on summer tour to the reading program. This year, Mr. Pickles' show will be out of this universe.
Well, this is going to be big tomorrow.
It's going to be out of this world.
He's a certified vendor.
Yes. Maybe you shouldn't have him on tomorrow because it's going to be so big. What are you going to do the rest of the week?
Anticlimactic.
Yeah.
The rest of the week will be anticlimactic.
For sure, tomorrow's at 11. You always need time to set up so the morning show would work.
Well, good. Well, Mr. Pickles tomorrow morning. You're not going to want to miss that, our big 5th of July show. 58 minutes past the hour. We've had Angie Evers here this morning, Pastor Craig, Mike McGinnis. Pastor, what's coming up for people who haven't heard Wednesday, 4 to 6?
We will be live here at the fair. We're going to talk to people as they walk by our booth. We're going to sample fair food and give our opinions on the fair food.
Sounds great, 4 to 6. Angie, what's your itinerary today?
I have no idea.
Not a big lamb day here at the fair.
No.
Mike, where are
you? Just sitting.
We have a family get-together at 4 o'clock today. Then probably some fireworks. So head back to Marysville.
That's nice. Well, I want to let everybody know that I'm glad you were able to hear this morning. I'm glad it came through loud and clear. Adam comes up in about 15 minutes. And at some point today before the fair, you know, search Ben Franklin, search Washington. Just read a little bit about what they did on the birthday of this country. Scott Spears with Pastor Craig, Mike McGinnis, and Angie F. broadcasting from the 172nd Marion County Fair. Everybody has a great 4th of July, and we will talk with you tomorrow morning.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. The place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly, 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. What do you? How do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look at it and you see whether it's valid or not. And then you consider the source.
And then just
I just made up that answer.
And then onward and upward.
You're always a little bit miffed, of course, because everyone doesn't love you. But at the same time, you have to look at yourself and see whether they're right or not.
Do you go home at night, Helen, and think, my goodness, this person said that, this person said that? Does it keep you up at nights?
Well, I don't say it keeps me up at night. I have to think that nobody likes criticism, but sometimes it's very legitimate.
Final question I have for you, Helen, is probably the question I've been asked the most since I did the interview with you back in October of 2010. Why did you finally decide to speak, and how did it come about that you chose me to do the first interview?
Well, because you've been very kind, very fair. You don't jump in and attack me every time I open my mouth. I like that, and I think you're a fair reporter.